Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I have all kinds of interesting news stories to take a look at today and to discuss Friday's show, as well as some of the people that are going to be on this coming week, particularly tomorrow and Thursday. But suffice it to say that when you look at what's been happening in the news, it all stacks up pretty clearly in terms of ongoing violence and difficulty and sectarian division in Iraq. We're seeing reports today, of course, that last night at approximately 11:30 Central Standard Time, there were three explosions that ripped through central Baghdad on Monday, killing at least 74 people. And this was amidst memorials marking last year's attack on a revered Shiite shrine in Samarra. More than 170 people, according to a number of news services, were wounded in those bombings. And this was sandwiched around a brief commemoration on the anniversary of the attack on the Al-Askariya Mosque, also known as the Golden Mosque. And as you go on and read some of the news reports on this today, it really is simply more of the same. In conjunction with this, there's talk of a security sweep that's going to shut down 10 areas of Baghdad. Other developments that seem to be attempts at linking Iran to what is happening in Iraq, that has obvious implications for the days ahead. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
We're back. This is Mark Dan, Cost America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. All kinds of news stories to take a look at today, as well as to take a look at this past Friday show, because there's something that Harper's Magazine has posted that deals with Chalmers Johnson, who was our guest on Friday, one of our two guests on Friday, the other one being Shireen Naish out of Sarbazon. Also tomorrow, Michael Perutka, who was the Constitution Party candidate for the presidency in 2004, is going to be on my show. And I believe Mike's going to be on from 9 to 10 Central Standard Time tomorrow. And we're going to be chatting about the 2004 campaign and what's been going on in the Constitution Party in the years since, and what role the Constitution Party may or may not play in upcoming American political events as we head toward another presidential election cycle. And I have all kinds of things I want to ask Michael Perutka about. He's a personal friend, and yet I'm going to be asking him a couple of tough questions as well in regard to not only the Constitution Party, but several people that are in the so-called mainstream conservative movement that I consider to be dangerously tied to the neocons. And Mike Perutka is familiar with several of these people, and I want to get his take on one or two of these individuals, including Alan Keyes, So that'll be tomorrow on Tuesday. I'm going to have a particularly interesting show, I think, on Thursday of this coming week. There's a guy by the name of Robert A. Sungainis, Dr. Robert A. Sungainis of Catholics Apologetics International, who's written some outstanding articles on neoconservatives and the Jewish connection, among many other things. And you can find this guy's website at CatholicIntl.com. And, of course, I am not a Roman Catholic. I'm an Evangelical Lutheran. So there are some things on Dr. Sungainis' website that I would not be in agreement with. But suffice it to say, in regard to this whole question of neoconservatives and the Jewish lobby, that there's a tremendous amount of commonality there. And his research is absolutely staggering in regard to the things that he writes. And Hermann Ottens Christian News, the Lutheran newspaper, the very fine conservative Lutheran weekly, has been running Dr. Sungainis' articles on this whole question of neocons and the Jewish connection. The first edition came out in the January 29th Christian News, Hermann Ottens newspaper, and then February the 5th, Christian News came out with the second section of Robert Sungainis' article on neocons and the Jewish connection. And reading through this, there's an awful lot of data there. Some of that data I think I'll share at a later point in this show in regard to reading some of the specifics of Dr. Sungainis' articles so that you can get a little bit of a flavor for what's likely to go on Thursday when we have a very extended conversation about some of these issues. Talking about Chalmers Johnson, who was our guest this past Friday on Mark Dankoff's America. If you did not listen to that show, when it's available on the archives, you may want to avail yourself of that opportunity because, again, he's a very, very interesting character. Between 1968 and 1972, he was helping the Central Intelligence Agency as a consultant to their National Intelligence Estimates process. Chalmers Johnson is an acknowledged East Asian scholar worldwide who has been for the last 30 years involved as a tenured professor of political science at the University of California, both in San Diego and in Berkeley. But at any rate, since we had him on the show this past Friday, talking about this whole issue of the foreign policy of the United States and talking about the Bush administration specifically, and Dr. Johnson's new book, which is entitled Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. Now, that's an interesting title, isn't it? Because if I had written that book, not suggesting for one minute that I have the scholarly acumen of Chalmers Johnson, but if I had been selected to select the title of that book, I probably would have said Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Empire, for I think the American Republic died a long time ago. And the American Empire is now in its final death throes, it seems to me, when you look at the kinds of things that Chalmers Johnson talks about in this book and that he spoke about in our show on Friday. The debt levels that are being sustained by the United States in regard to trying to finance this war of imperialism are absolutely staggering. We're looking at the largest foreign trade deficits and federal budget deficits in American history. And quite clearly, when you look at all of the things that are aligned against us militarily, politically, and economically in regard to this situation, it really does seem to be a continuation of the tragedy that ended the British Empire in a previous generation. And now we're looking at Harper's Magazine today, and Chalmers Johnson has a post there from Wednesday, February 7th, entitled A National Intelligence Estimate on the United States. And Harper's does a good job of summarizing the key judgments of Dr. Chalmers Johnson in regard to some of the things that he talked about in our show on Friday. Continuing with Harper's at this point, they quote Dr. Johnson as saying the following, quote, "The United States remains for the moment the most powerful nation in history, but it faces a violent contradiction between its long Republican tradition and its more recent imperial ambitions. The fate of previous democratic empires suggests that such a conflict is unsustainable and will be resolved in one of two ways. Rome attempted to keep its empire and lost its democracy. Britain chose to remain democratic and in the process let go of its empire. Intentionally or not, the people of the United States already are well embarked upon the course of non-democratic empire. Several factors, however, indicate that this course will be a brief one, which most likely will end in economic and political collapse. Military Keynesianism. The imperial project is expensive. The flow of the nation's wealth from taxpayers and increasingly foreign lenders through the government to military contractors and decreasingly back to the taxpayers has created a form of military Keynesianism in which the domestic economy requires sustained military ambition in order to avoid recession or collapse. Number two, the unitary presidency. Sustained military ambition is inherently anti-Republican in that it tends to concentrate power in the executive branch. In the United States, President George W. Bush subscribes to an esoteric interpretation of the Constitution called the theory of the unitary executive, which holds in effect that the president has the authority to ignore the separation of powers written into the Constitution, creating a feedback loop in which permanent war and the unitary presidency are mutually reinforcing. Number three, failed checks on executive ambition. The U.S. legislature and judiciary appear to be incapable of restraining the president and therefore restraining imperial ambition. Direct opposition from the people in the form of democratic action or violent uprising is unlikely because the television and print media have by and large found it unprofitable to inform the public about the actions of the country's leaders. Nor is it likely that the military will attempt to take over the executive branch by way of a coup. Bankruptcy and collapse, number four. Confronted by the limits of its own vast but nonetheless finite financial resources and lacking the political check on spending provided by a functioning democracy, the United States will, within a very short time, face financial or even political collapse at home and a significantly diminished ability to project force abroad. Discussion. Dr. Chalmers Johnson then goes on in this post with Harper's to discuss military Keynesianism in more detail, where he says the ongoing U.S. militarization of its foreign affairs has spiked precipitously in recent years with increasingly expensive commitments in Afghanistan and Iraq. These commitments grew from many specific political factors, including the ideological predilections of the current regime, the growing need for material access to the oil-rich regions of the Middle East, and a long-term bipartisan emphasis on hegemony as a basis for national security. The domestic economic basis for these commitments, however, is consistently overlooked. Indeed, America's hegemonic policy is in many ways most accurately understood as the inevitable result of its decades-long policy of military Keynesianism. During the Depression that preceded World War II, the English economist John Maynard Keynes, a liberal capitalist, proposed a form of governance that would mitigate the boom and bust cycles inherent in capitalist economies. To prevent the economy from contracting, a development typically accompanied by social unrest, Keynes thought the government should take on debt in order to put people back to work. Some of these deficit-financed government jobs might be socially useful, but Keynes was not averse to creating make-work tasks if necessary. During periods of prosperity, the government would cut spending and rebuild the treasury. Such counter-cyclical planning was called pump priming. Upon taking office in 1933, U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt, with the assistance of Congress, put several Keynesian measures into effect, including socialized retirement plans, minimum wages for all workers, and government-financed jobs on massive projects, including the Triborough Bridge in New York City, the Grand Coulee Dam in Washington, and the Tennessee Valley Authority, a flood control and electric power generation complex covering seven states. Conservative capitalists feared that this degree of government intervention would delegitimate capitalism, which they understood as an economic system of quasi-natural laws, and shift the balance of power from the capitalist class to the working class and its unions. For these reasons, establishment figures tried to hold back counter-cyclical spending. The onset of World War II, however, made possible a significantly modified form of state socialism. The exiled Polish economist Michael Kalecki attributed Germany's success in overcoming the global depression to a phenomenon that has come to be known as military Keynesianism. Government spending on arms increased manufacturing and also had a multiplier effect on general consumer spending by raising worker incomes. Both of these points are in accordance with general Keynesian doctrine. In addition, the enlargement of standing armies absorbed many workers, often young males with few skills and less education. The military thus becomes an employer of last resort, like Roosevelt's Civilian Conservation Corps, but on a much larger scale. That's Chalmers Johnson, our guest from Friday, talking in Harpers.org today. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Mark Dan, Cost America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're taking a look at today at a number of news stories and items of news analysis that are available to you online. The thing that we were looking at before the break was Chalmers Johnson and his post for Harper's. Chalmers Johnson was on this show on Friday, and of course he, as I mentioned earlier, was a consultant to the National Intelligence Estimates Procedures for the Central Intelligence Agency from 1968 to 1972, and in the last 30 years has been a professor of political science at the University of California, both in Berkeley and in San Diego. And he has a new book out entitled Nemesis, The Final Days of the American Republic. And that's been a topic of conversation, of course, on this show for a very long period of time. All of the signs that indicate that the American Republic, in my view, is already dead. We aren't in the final days of that. The American Republic, as you and I would understand that as old right conservatives, is already gone. We are talking, I think, however, about the end of the American Empire. And this is something that is going to become increasingly obvious, I think, in the days that are ahead. Before I get back to Chalmers Johnson's article, I just wanted to mention a few other things that are in the news today that I think would be well worth your time in regard to glancing at to get a better perspective on what is going on worldwide and how it will impact your life and mine, I think, in the days that are ahead. CNN has some coverage today of this vote yesterday in regard to this Portuguese abortion law situation. Ray McGovern has a very interesting piece at antiwar.com today entitled Helping Israel Die. Read that article because I think what you might perceive from the title is not necessarily what is the thrust of Ray's piece. But Ray McGovern, of course, was involved in the National Intelligence Estimates procedures himself, going all the way back to the Kennedy administration, all through the George Herbert Walker Bush administration. And Ray McGovern, like Chalmers Johnson, has been one of the people with that type of background trying to warn you and me that this whole situation with American foreign policy and with this constant attempt toward imperial expansion and fighting wars on behalf of Israel and borrowing money to do it is designed to destroy this country. And quite clearly, when you're looking at these guys who've been on the inside of the intelligence business at the highest levels for periods of decades, it becomes particularly significant, I think, when guys with these types of establishment political science backgrounds and establishment intelligence backgrounds are now sounding the alarm that something is very, very seriously wrong. Before we get back to Chalmers Johnson's article, I wanted to mention several other items that will be of special interest to you. Andrew Bacevich, who is someone we've talked about before on this show, has a post at Pat Buchanan's American Conservative entitled Going for Broke. That particular piece is well worth your time. That's Andrew Bacevich. There's a very curious story here that is emanating today out of Britain in the British Telegraph newspaper entitled Professor Outrages Jews with Book Claim. We may get back to that later in the show and discuss some of the specifics of what is in that British Telegraph article. Another post that is well worth your time is, of course, found at a number of different locations, and that is that Vladimir Putin is saying that the United States wants to dominate the world. Whether that's true or it isn't, and of course people will debate that on all sides of the political spectrum, I find Putin's remarks to be particularly interesting given something that was in the February 2nd Wall Street Journal on the front page entitled Russia and Iran Talk of a Cartel for Natural Gas. So when you read that article in the Wall Street Journal and take it in conjunction with Vladimir Putin's comments about the U.S. wanting to dominate the world, it's apparent that the Russians, for one, are putting their own house in order in regard to an anticipation of American military moves in the Middle East and specifically against Iran. And among other things, they have are attempting to put together a natural gas consortium in conjunction with Iran that would apparently be designed to counter attempts on the part of the United States and certain Western multinational corporations to gain a corner on the market in regard to a monopolistic control of natural gas supplies in Central Asia. That's a bit of competition in regard to this whole military situation that is frequently not discussed for obvious reasons in the American and Western media, but that's well worth your time to compare Vladimir Putin's comments with what is said in the Wall Street Journal on this subject of natural gas consortiums on Friday, February the 2nd. That Wall Street Journal article, which we might take a closer look at this morning in a little bit, is written by Russell Gold, G-O-L-D, and Gregory L. White, W-H-I-T-E. And the title of it is Russia and Iran Talk of a Cartel for Natural Gas, Potential Clout Alarms Big European Buyers, and Unsettling Alliance. What is going on over there, folks? It seems to me that there are some very curious moves being made both by the Russians and by the Chinese that suggests that the United States may have more on its hands than simply dealing with Iran and the Islamic world in regard to an interventionist policy in Central Asia and the Middle East. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Back. This is Mark Hancock, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news items today, and they're going to be going back over some of these in the next couple of hours to discuss, hopefully, the deeper implications of what is behind some of these things that are in both mainstream press as well as non-mainstream alternative media. Suffice it to say that getting back again to a brief summary of some of the better stories that are out there today on the World Wide Web. I have mentioned a couple of items, Ray McGovern's post, Helping Israel Die. That might be a somewhat misleading title. I don't think it's quite what you might expect just from the title itself, but Ray McGovern's piece is well worth taking a look at. Andrew Bacevich's item, entitled Going for Broke, can be found at Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative today. There's a very, very interesting piece, getting back to some historical items that we will discuss with Robert Sunganis on Thursday. If you've not seen Henry Mako's website, M-A-K-O-W, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, it's savethemails.ca. It's a very entertaining and informative site. He's got a story posted today entitled, Soviets Raised Churches but Spared Synagogues. We might get back to that piece a little bit later on this morning. I think we'll certainly take it up with Dr. Sungainis on Thursday. But that's Henry Mackow's piece, again, Soviets Raised Churches, Spared Synagogues, and that is to be found at SaveTheMails.ca. Safa Hayeri has a piece today at Iran Press Service that's well worth your time, and it's entitled Iran Again Double Speaks. Kind of interesting to take a look at Iran Press Service because some of the material that is there I agree with. Some of the other material has very clear neoconservative overtones, and I don't agree with it at all. And nonetheless, Safa Hayeri's piece today on the Iran Press Service entitled Iran Again Double Speaks is kind of an interesting piece. It's a February 11th post out of Paris, an IPS byline. And one of the interesting things about that story to me is the way in which those of us, myself included, who do not speak Farsi or read the Persian language are at the mercy, it seems to me, of Western media in regard to trying to decipher what was actually said by some of these key players in this Iran controversy in their language and in regard to, you know, what they actually said and intended and so forth. There's an awful lot of stuff that gets mistranslated, it seems to me. Chief example of this, apparently, is the claim that President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said that he wanted to wipe Israel off the map or that Israel should be wiped off the map. Obviously, the implications of that in American English are pretty clear, but there's a very serious question as to whether or not that's what Ahmadinejad actually said in Farsi. There's some credible evidence out there that he did not say what we believe that he said, according to American colloquial English, that there was a completely different spin on what he said in Farsi that put in its context did not mean at all what the Zionist-oriented Western media indicated at the time that it did. So when you're looking at Iran Press Service, do so with some degree of care for the fact that there are articles that appear there that have a neoconservative emphasis and bias that needs to be acknowledged, and also that we're dealing with the dangers of misinterpretation of language, where we're looking at an English language site that is telling us what was said by various Iran leaders, when in fact we're somewhat at the mercy of the particular linguistic interpreters in regard to how faithful they are to the Persian original, and whether or not there's a slant being put on what was said in Persian that is politicized, that does not reflect at all what was originally said by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad or Ayatollah Ali Khamenei or whoever it happens to be. So look at that piece advisedly at Iran Press Service by Safa Hayeri entitled Iran Again Double Speaks. AlJazeera.info, which again is an American site based in Dalton, Georgia, has a number of interesting posts today. One of them can be found at the letters and announcements to the editor for this day, the 12th of February. There is a video there about the Israeli digging underneath Al-Aqsa Mosque. I have not yet viewed that video. It originally comes from the Uruknet site, U-R-U-K-N-E-T, but AlJazeera.info has that video reposted. And this deals, of course, with the whole issue of the Palestinian protest and the Israeli occupation forces in their recent clash in that whole area of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And again, we're dealing with a variety of different claims in regard to exactly what happened in that situation. But suffice it to say that this video might be very interesting viewing today at AlJazeera.info. Bush has a plan for the Middle East, according to Abid Mustafa today, also at AlJazeera.info. That's a very lengthy article. I have scanned it as of 3 or 4 o'clock this morning, have not had the opportunity to really read it in the kind of detail that I want to and to digest its contents. But it appears to be a very interesting and comprehensive and well-argued piece, whether you agree with the analysis there or not. But I recommend it to you. It's a brand new one at AlJazeera.info by Abid Mustafa, entitled Bush's Plan for the Middle East, No Palestinian State, Iraqi Partition, or Cooperation with Syria and Iran. Larry Chin, C-H-I-N, who is someone whose work I follow very closely, has a post today that can be found at AlJazeera.info. This is a piece that was originally found at a website entitled carolynbaker.org. Larry Chin is an associate editor of Online Journal. He's a contributor to Dr. Michael Chosadovsky's Center for Global Research. We've had Dr. Chosadovsky on this show, and Chin also writes for several other publications online. But suffice it to say that he has a very interesting piece entitled Fabricating the Case Against Iran. Quite interesting to take that piece by Larry Chin that is found today at aljazeera.info, originally posted at carolynbaker.org, and to examine that piece in conjunction with some of the stuff that is found at Safa Hariri's Iran press service. When you begin to engage in this sort of analysis, it becomes very clear that there is a complete division between the anti-neocon and pro-neocon press in regard to what this data coming out of Iran means. And quite clearly, when the average American citizen, well-meaning person, is trying to, the ones who do read and who do think about things that are ultimately important, attempts to get to the bottom of what is or is not going on over there, and whether or not their own leadership is being truthful with them in regard to what these events mean and what's happening, it becomes a real art in trying to decipher doublespeak. For it becomes increasingly apparent that there is so much information out there coming at us from so many different quarters that trying to get at the bottom of what it means and trying to assess the abilities and the credentials and the sincerity of the writers and publishers becomes a very thankful and some would argue an almost impossible task. But Larry Chin's piece, Fabricating the Case Against Iran, is well worth your time. There's another item today that is found at lewrockwell.com. And that is Gabriel Kolko's piece, Israel and Iran and the Bush Administration. Kolko is, of course, someone whose work I followed before in the past. It's a very interesting study. He has a new book out entitled The Age of War, The United States Confronts the World. I have not read the book. I'm going to get a copy of it. He has a series of other articles that are linked at the bottom of the page of the Lou Rockwell post today. Again, well worth your time. Israel and Iran and the Bush Administration by Gabriel Kolko. That's found at lewrockwell.com. And again, you will discover the author's new book, which is entitled The Age of War, The United States Confronts the World. Joe Sobern has a piece on Congressman Ron Paul. It's a few days old, but I think it's worth taking a look at. On January 25th, Sobern provides his take on the candidacy of Ron Paul for the presidency of the United States. I want to talk to Michael Perutka about this tomorrow when he's on the show. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, Michael Perutka was the Constitution Party's candidate for the presidency of the United States back in 2004. In that scenario, I was not running for any office that year, thankfully. I had been the Constitution Party's candidate for the U.S. Senate in 2000 in Delaware. And, of course, I got to know Michael Perutka a little bit at that time. I got to know him much better when he was running for the presidency in 2004. Very nice wife and family, very nice guy, and someone that I think has an awful lot in common with both the listeners to the Republican or the Republic Broadcasting Network and the American Free Press, those of you who read that publication. But Mike and I are not always on the same page. And sometimes he takes a slightly different position, I would suspect, on a couple of things than I would. And maybe it's just a difference in emphasis. Now, I want to particularly talk to Michael Perutka tomorrow in a spirit of fairness and in candor about the way in which Alan Keyes has showed up at a couple of Constitution Party events in recent years. I want to chat with Michael about that because, frankly, I'm not on the same page with Alan Keyes, I don't think at all, in regard to his foreign policy, his connections to William Kristol. And we know what that means, of course, in terms of William Kristol's involvement with the much wider neoconservative empire that's involved in publishing and media and government. And I want to get Michael Perutka's take on the Constitution Party's dalliance from time to time with Keyes. This even includes a situation in more recent days and weeks where the Constitution Party had a conclave up in New Hampshire, I believe, and the neoconservative World Net Daily reported on that meeting. And Howard Phillips was there, my friend Howard Phillips, and a series of other people with Constitution Party connections, trying to evaluate who might be their best bet for the presidency, their candidate for the presidency in 2008. And according to WorldNet Daily, which published a list of these people, Alan Key's name was on that list. I would like to explore that a little bit with Michael Perutka, as well as to discuss some of what's been going on in the Constitution Party more recently in regard to controversies dealing with the abortion situation and what seems to have been a basic division between the national body and some of the state affiliates of the Constitution Party in regard to the whole issue of abortion and whether or not there are positions in the party that are being silently tolerated on that subject that are in contradiction to the national platform of the Constitution Party. I'm no longer an insider to any of that. I have simply read about it. But I want to ask Michael Perutka about this and to see what role, if any, he thinks the Constitution Party will play in the next presidential election, and also to talk to him about the candidacy, the prospective candidacy of Ron Paul for the presidency, since Ron Paul, of course, is going to be running as a Republican in the Republican primaries, and to see the extent to which Michael Perutka believes that will either help or hinder any efforts that the Constitution Party might be undertaking in 2008. I will be honest, in 2004, I was one of a number of people who wrote Ron Paul and asked him to run for the presidency. And I was hopeful that Ron Paul would get into that mix as a third-party candidate that year, potentially as the Constitution Party's candidate. That didn't happen, and Ron has apparently decided to give this a serious look as a Republican primary contender. And I think he's an outstanding man and an outstanding candidate. And if I do vote, I emphasize if I do vote in 2008, I most assuredly would be voting for Ron Paul in the Republican primaries. And then probably would drop out of the process again. But at any rate, it's going to be interesting to see what Michael Perutka's take is on Ron Paul and this whole issue of paleo-conservative candidates running for office, either as Republicans or as third-party candidates or as independent candidates. That raises a whole series of political and tactical and philosophical issues that Michael Perutka is in a very unique position to address, since he has faced the music on this as a third-party candidate for the presidency. So that will be tomorrow on Mark Dankoff's America, and I believe Michael is going to come on at 9 a.m. Central Time, be with us for approximately 1 hour from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Getting back then to this Chalmers Johnson article that we were looking at Harper's earlier this morning, keeping in mind that he was on the show on Friday, talking about his new book, Nemesis, The Final Days or the Last Days of the American Republic. Chalmers Johnson goes on in Harper's Magazine to discuss his so-called national intelligence estimate on the United States and the whole business of the key things that the reader should glean from his article and also from his book. He made a number of these points on the show on Friday, and I think among the many key points that he raised was the fact that you have what he terms a violent contradiction between our long Republican tradition in this country and our more recent imperial ambitions. You know, really, if you look at paleoconservative or libertarian literature, good literature from those camps, and harken back to the days of the old American right, it becomes very, very clear that a republic is incompatible with an empire, and that as you see a nation-state engaging in imperial interventionist policies abroad and trying to expand its network of spheres of influence abroad, that same nation tends to engage in certain activities and certain conduct toward its own citizens. I don't think, and we didn't have a chance to really get into this with Chalmers Johnson in great detail on Friday, but it would have been probably a show that could have gone 3 hours just on the basis of its own merits in regard to comparing nations who have become empires and the whole business of imperial ambition abroad and to compare that with what they did domestically in regard to their economies and the domestic rights of their own citizens. Curiously enough, that whole situation in regard to what Chalmers Johnson talks about at Harper's, he boils down to what he talked about on Friday on this show, and that is that you either have Rome, which attempted to keep its empire and lost its democracy, or you have Britain, which chose to remain democratic and in the process let go of its empire. In the case of the U.S., then, if that holds true in regard to our analysis based upon Rome and Britain, which of these two patterns is apparently the pattern that the United States is following? It would seem to me that we're going the way of Rome. If this juxtaposition of Rome and Britain, as Dr. Chalmers Johnson outlines it for us, is correct, we would seem to be trying to keep our empire and in the process losing our quote-unquote democracy or republic. We'll be back. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Oh,
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be taking a course, as we always do, a series of frequent commercial breaks here in the next 10 minutes or so, and then there'll be a time for a longer period of conversation. Just wanted to mention that you can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, is available through the Republic Broadcasting Network for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling at those same contact points, republicbroadcasting.org, or also at 1-800-724-2719. You can also call me through the morning at 1-800-313-9443. That is 1-800-313-9443. And I just wanted to say that tomorrow, having Michael Perutka, the 2004 Constitution Party presidential candidate on the show, I have all kinds of things I want to take up with Michael in the hour that he's going to be with us. I believe that is tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. I want to talk about Alan Keyes. I want to talk about conservative, paleoconservative foreign policy as opposed to neoconservative foreign policy. I want to get Michael Perutka's take on the Israeli lobby. You know, that's not something that he really, as far as I know, has talked about in great detail in the past, unless I've missed something. Michael did talk in 2004 about the Project for a New American Century and the fact that that is basically a very bad idea as a foundation for American foreign policy. But Michael has never really, to my knowledge anyway, addressed some of the larger issues involved in the connections between the Project for a New American Century and the Israeli lobby, and the connections between the Israeli lobby and certain so-called conservative figures in the United States. Michael Collins Piper's book, The Judas Goats, will come into play at some point, potentially in my conversation with Michael, as we talk about some folks that have long been revered in the conservative movement in this country, who over the long course of history have not necessarily been the nationalists and the constitutionalists that they claim to be. So we'll take that up with Michael Perutka tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. He was, again, in 2004, the Constitution Party's presidential candidate, and there are all kinds of things that you will enjoy talking to Michael Perutka about. Whatever you think of his politics, whatever you think of his particular positions on the issues, he's a tremendously nice guy and has been gracious enough to come on my show because I have said things over the air that I believe to be true that do not always toe the so-called party line in regard to the way that the Constitution Party has sometimes conducted its campaigns and so forth. And Michael's been gracious enough to come on and to talk about some of these issues. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.